Calls for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
You have to move. How do you find a mover? What type of estimate should you get? How do you prepare for moving day? And then there's the move itself. Well, we're going to discuss these issues. My guest is John Crawford. He's the Vice President of Sales for Collins Brothers Moving and Storage. They're an agent of Atlas Van Lines. John, welcome to Of Consuming Interest. Big subject here, and scary subject, matter of fact, because most of us don't move that often, so we're ill-prepared to deal with the issues. And I'd like to start out by, first off, you've had a long history in the moving industry. Have you seen significant changes in how moving takes place these days?
I have, Shirley. There have been many changes over the years, some regulatory, some not, a great many of them by virtue of the internet, which is the cause of so many of the great problems today, which I hope we'll address as well. But yes, many changes over the years.
Okay. I'm hoping some of those changes are positive for consumers. But as you said, the internet, and let's just talk about that first to warn our listeners that if you're going online, you've got to have some guidelines before you find a mover, right?
That is definitely correct.
Okay. So let's start with finding a mover. How do you check out a mover? I know there are websites where you can go to find out complaints against a mover and how they are addressed. So let's talk about some of those things that you would do. You're facing moving. You're scared. You haven't moved in 30 years. And that's entirely likely. So what do you do?
You bet. Well, first of all, I wouldn't even go online first to look for a mover. I would always start with a trusted friend, a family member, somebody you know who has moved, and get a recommendation from them first. That's always the best way to go. Then there's always the traditional Yellow Pages, or you can go online and access different. Just go online and Google moving, mm-hmm. and moving in your state or your city, and you'll come up with a list of moving companies. And I would simply start with that as the resource, not necessarily the basis for the final decision.
Okay. And then, all right, so you narrow it down. Suppose you don't have any friends. I mean, I don't know anybody who's moved lately, to tell you the truth. Maybe some of my neighbors have moved in fairly recently, but a lot of those were local moves. If we're facing a long-distance move, and I guess we should really discuss that in a separate terms, because a local move is very different from a long-distance move. Local move probably involves only one mover picking up your goods and delivering them somewhere, right? You can still have problems.
That's correct.
But a long-distance move means you're starting out with somebody, and then your goods may go to different people, and somebody else is going to deliver them on the other end of the line. Am I right about that?
Partly right. By different people, we might only mean different crew members.
Most
interstate moves start with a traditional national van line, be it Atlas, North American, Mayflower, Allied. There's a good many of them out there. And you're represented by one of their agents in the city where you're moving from. They send out a packing crew to do any packing. They send out, or the van line authority sends out, the driver to load your goods. And more often than not, if you're going door to door, that same driver will deliver your goods in your new city. Mm-hmm. He may have a different crew with him when he arrives in the new city.
Okay.
Or he may have a couple of the few people. But more often than not, it's the same driver.
Now, is that an important question for consumers to ask? Is this going to be in the hands of the same company the whole time?
It is important to ask, because you want to make sure your goods are not transferred from truck to truck. The fewer times they're handled, the better for you in the end run.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And what should be your expectations from the time your goods are picked up to when they arrive? And I suppose that has a lot to do with the size of your move, whether or not they fill up a whole truck, whole van, or whether or not you're going to be part of another shipment?
Exactly. And let me applaud you for using the word expectation, because unfortunately in this business, many consumers don't have a very high, if any, expectation at all for service because of how we have or they have been mistreated in the past. You should have a high expectation for service, and you should demand the finest service that company is capable of delivering to you, always. Now, what should you expect? You should expect to have someone come out to your residence to give you an estimate of the goods and the cost of goods, the cost of services that they're going to provide you with. And we'll talk about different types of estimates in just a minute. Then you should expect that they will price the services that you've requested, and only those services. and then they should explain to you their service to get your goods from door to door in the least amount of time, the most efficient amount of time, and at the best price possible.
Okay, so now let's go back to getting the estimate. There's two choices, a binding and a non-binding, as I understand it. Maybe there are more options that I don't know about, but are they basically the choices for a consumer?
Those are basically the choices. You'll have the traditional non-binding estimate, and then you have two types of binding, an actual binding with a cap and a not to exceed. The binding with a cap is really just a firm fixed figure. If we agree on moving for $5,000, it doesn't change unless you, the customer, alter the circumstances of the move. The not to exceed gives you a capped move, but if the weight of the shipment goes less than was estimated, then you get the benefit of the lower price after the shipment has been weighed, or if fewer services have been performed than were provided in the estimate.
And if it goes above the weight that was estimated, then is that cap in place to prevent you from being charged more?
That is capped unless you, the consumer, added things
stuff
to the shipment.
Gotcha. And like if you didn't show them the garage and it's filled with stuff,
exactly.
Books, for example.
Exactly.
Okay. So what you should get then as part of the estimate is almost a comprehensive list of what's going to be included in the move. Or that it's – because how are you going to – suppose you end up with somebody who's not too great and they say, well, lady, you didn't tell us you had those books and yet you may have. You're not going to get a list of everything that's going to be moved, are you? What's going to be in those estimates, no matter which kind they are?
You're going to get an inventory from the salesperson who comes out to your residence. Some will use an electronic device where they'll tap on a keyboard all the items that you've noted are going. Some will use a traditional hard copy document that we call a cube sheet. And they'll actually list off the items that you say are going, and they should, if they do it properly, list the items that are not going. And that serves as the basis for the checkpoint on moving day when the driver arrives and a grand piano is shown as going, and he looks at the cube sheet and says, it was clearly listed as not going. There's where the situation has been altered.
That's where you, yes, exactly. And you can't expect the move estimate to stay the same if you've altered the circumstance.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. I mean, that's fair to
yes.
Everybody. Exactly. But now, okay, so we've gotten the estimate. Will you decide? Now, how does the consumer decide which estimate's for them?
Ultimately, it's going to come down to their choice. My personal preference for an interstate move is the not-to-exceed price because I explain that as the best of both worlds. You have a cap on your price,
mm-hmm.
but if the shipment does weigh less than the estimator has estimated, then you get the benefit
then
of the lower
the
weight or lower services.
And the van is taken to a weigh station.
Correct.
After it's filled.
Yes.
Right? To verify.
Yes, it's weighed before it comes to residence and then weighed again after.
Okay, and so the consumer has the right to ask for a copy of that weight?
Yes, they
thing.
Do.
Okay.
And if they have a question in the whole scheme of things, if they question the weight, they can ask for a reweigh of the shipment upon delivery at the other end.
Okay. And it lost weight during the time. You hope you didn't lose stuff.
No.
That's right. Okay, so the consumer is going to have to be knowledgeable enough to understand the difference between these estimates, the advantages or pros and cons, and which one to choose. So having done that, then we get to – have we done what we need to do about moving?
We've
you know what?
Pretty much
before
done
we
that,
go,
but...
before we go farther, let me just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is John Crawford. He's the Vice President of Sales for Collins Brothers Moving and Storage, which is an agent of Atlas Van Lines. And we're trying to save you grief on moving day. And it can be grief if you don't understand the rules and regs. Do we need to add more about the estimate?
I think we need first to make sure that it's not up to the customer to know all of these things. It's incumbent upon the moving company representative who comes to your house to explain all of these things to you. And he or she should ask clearly, do you understand the options you have for an estimate?
Yeah.
And then move forward.
That's exactly right. Okay. So you've gotten your estimate. You've chosen the type of move you want to make. Moving day comes. Now, what you do or don't do before moving day can make a big difference in the cost of that move, right?
Very big.
Because is that something that you need to plan as to whether or not you're going to pack things, whether or not you're going to have them packed for you? And what happens if, for example, you have china, you pack it yourself, the moving company moves it, it arrives and something is broken? Does your having packed it make it more difficult for the consumer to put a claim in for the broken china, or is there something here I don't know?
No, slightly more difficult. The rule of thumb for customer packing is if you pack something into a box and we handle it professionally and there's no exterior evidence of damage to that box when it arrives at the destination, it's assumed that any breakage inside is due to the packing and not the handling. But if there is visible exterior damage to that box upon delivery and then something therein is broken, you have every right to file a claim and it should be.
So you got to view the boxes.
You do.
Yeah. Okay. So packing yourself can change, save you money.
Dramatically.
Now, but also if you are shipping things that are heirlooms that have a greater value than, what is it? How much are you paid per pound for moving damage? 60 cents?
That's our legal liability. That's what you receive, yes.
Okay. So you may have to decide whether or not you want to take extra insurance.
That's correct.
Okay. So that would be up to you. That
exactly.
would be a choice made by the mover.
And it should be fully explained by the estimator. So you know your options. You have zero deductible, $250 deductible, and $500 deductible options as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've done this. We've done our preparations. Moving day comes. Now, I know the last time I moved, which was a long time ago, but the one thing I did do that I was so proud of myself, I had a magic marker. And I had, well, actually, we did this when we moved our office also. I marked every box. I had a plan of rooms as to where that box went. And that room was marked on the outside of the door with a sticker that said this is room A or however we called it. And so that every box got to the room we wanted to go. Is that a good plan?
That's an ideal plan. And whether or not it's a sticker or you merely write master bedroom, kitchen, den, the room that it's designated to, not the room that it came from,
right,
is a great plan, a great way to start.
And you need to write there some idea of the contents.
Yes.
Now, okay, so we get everything in the new house. It's moved and we get it in the new house. Oftentimes, you're asked to sign a release that says, everything's here, everything's fine, I'm going to go away, you give me my money, bye-bye. Now, you don't have time to unpack all this stuff.
Right.
So what's your plan of action at this point?
Well, you also have a legal period of liability. On local moves, it's 30 days from the date of delivery. You have what you're signing for upon receipt of your goods is receipt of the goods in apparent good condition subject to further inspection. So for the local move, and usually for moves within a state, an intrastate move, you generally have 30 days from the date of delivery to make inspection and file your claim. On an interstate move, you actually have 9 months to file a claim.
9 months?
Now, we don't recommend you wait that long.
No, I wouldn't think.
But you actually legally have 9 months to file a claim.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know it was that long. Yeah. I knew you had a little bit longer period of time. So that, but basically what you should do is to try to get to those boxes as soon as you can, itemize everything, making lists of what box it was in, and you should save the boxes. If there's damage to something in a box, you should save the box.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Because your point about is the box damaged.
Right.
We've had consumers say, well, when the movers left, they asked me to sign that everything was in good condition. You don't know that. Damage to boxes may not be apparent.
Correct.
Consumer could have damaged the box themselves after it was left there.
Right.
So how do you handle a situation like that?
Well, that's why there is the clause for apparent good condition subject to inspection and their limitations on the amount of time. Now, key point to note, with so many customers today having their goods placed into a mini storage or a private storage location, not under the control of a moving company's warehouse, the liability actually ends on the date of delivery.
So it shifts to the storage house.
Storage house has none.
Oh, really?
No, they have no liability at all until you have locked that door, and then they're only liable for vermin and
whatever
things of that sort. So when your goods are delivered to a mini storage or a public storage facility, you should inspect everything immediately there and make any notations for loss or damage right on the paperwork at that time.
Wow. So that means you're going to have to take a little bit of time, but oftentimes the movers are not willing to give you that time. Insist.
Don't allow that to happen.
Insist. Yeah. Yes. You got to be firm.
Exactly. And even when they deliver to your home, it doesn't matter if he's delivering you in Georgia and has to be in Alabama tomorrow. You have a right to have things done at a fair speed so that you can visually inspect them, carefully inspect them, and don't allow a big burly guy or his crew to rush you. It's your home. You take control of the situation.
Amen. I like that. Okay. All right. So we've done all these things. We have a problem. What do you do?
On an interstate move, you can contact one of two parties. The company that originally handled your move, called the booking agent, in the city where you moved from. Or, if it's more convenient, you may file a claim with the van line representative in the city where you moved to. And that, called the destination agent, they will be listed on your paperwork with a name and phone number. And either the destination agent or the booking agent can file that claim for you.
Now, since there are going to be various people involved in this move, and probably different, like you all are in this area, you're part of Atlas Van Lines. Mm-hmm. But if, say, somebody was moving to California, Collins Brothers is probably a Collins Brothers moving is probably not going to be the people on the other end, right?
No.
Is there any problems with people shuffling blame from one to the other, or if there's damage, or?
Not at all. There's a very easy process of identifying the ultimate accountability, and that's mostly through the paperwork.
Okay.
Since there's a controlled process of knowing what agent packed the goods. If once the claim is finally settled, it's determined that packing damage existed, then that will be subrogated by Atlas Van Lines or the National Van Line back to the local agent who did the packing. The van line is actually the entity that will resolve the claim for you, not the local agent.
I see. So it's you got to go back to the parent.
Right.
Okay.
So if there was damage to a piece of furniture, which had nothing to do with packing, and that was found to be responsible by the driver, then the van line will charge back the driver's agency.
Gotcha. Okay, let's just take a brief pause here to let everyone know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is John Crawford. He's the Vice President of Sales for Collins Brothers Moving and Storage, which is an agent of Atlas Van Lines. And we're trying to make moving day a little easier. It's traumatic anyway to move. No matter if you're happy about the move or not, it is a traumatic thing. We moved our office just 3 years ago. Man, even that was trauma and work, let me tell you. Okay, so we've done all of this stuff and filed our claims and whatnot. What kind of expectation do you have? Let's say a piece of furniture was severely damaged. Is that furniture going to be replaced? Is that furniture going to be repaired? Let's say it's a dining room table and a leg was broken. That may or may not be able to be repaired. What's going to happen?
Again, it first starts with the type of insurance coverage you have taken out. And I say insurance because that's the word for the consumer. We call it valuation. Mm-hmm. We're not insurance companies. We don't sell insurance. We ask you to place a value on the goods and then we protect that value. So in selecting that valuation coverage, you have two options: the carrier's legal limited liability of 60 cents per pound per article, or you may take out replacement value insurance. So assuming you've taken out replacement value, first, it starts with repair, identifying the need for repair or replacement. We will always choose the option to repair an item, but we must be able to do so to the condition it was in at the time we moved it. That's our legal responsibility. If that cannot be done, then we're liable to replace the item at today's full replacement cost.
Okay, so then that kind of insurance, is it expensive?
It's not. It's based upon the total weight of the shipment, and then you must take out a minimum value of the shipment based upon the weight. An example would be a 10,000-pound shipment would have to have at least a $50,000 policy,
mm-hmm.
so $5 per pound of the shipment weight, mm-hmm. and then there'll be a premium for that $50,000 policy based on whether or not you choose a zero deductible, $250
right,
or $500.
That means how much you would pay for the repairs.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, not for the repair, but for the coverage.
For the coverage.
And everything.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Well, now, let's go back to the first thing that we talked about, and that was selecting a mover, mm-hmm. which is a big deal.
Yes.
There are websites that people can go to check out how the history of a mover, how many complaints have been issued, and et cetera. What are those websites? First off, the Department of Transportation is the general oversight agency.
For moving and storage, yes, succeeding the now defunct Interstate Commerce Commission. But probably the best website for checking out a moving company remains still the Better Business Bureau.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, not all companies, moving companies, local companies, and even some national van lines aren't members of the Better Business Bureau. So you may still have a consumer who's filed a complaint with the BBB against one of those companies. But the moving company may not even know, because if they're not a member, they won't receive a report from the Better Business Bureau.
Well, they can contact Call for Action. That's what we do.
Great.
We've helped consumers all over the country.
Great.
So that is redress for them. I'm talking about aren't there federal agencies that maintain websites, or is it the industry associations that maintain website moving histories?
For the most part, the industry and the state associations. There's also promover.org.
Mm-hmm. And that is?
That's a national website. It's a representation of the moving industry, and it's affiliated with the American Moving and Storage Association.
Okay. And would they have complaints against movers?
Yes.
And
yes,
so you can go in and find what information there is available about the company that you're about to choose.
Yes.
Okay. I would also recommend that people put the name of the company in and just go in and put complaints in a Google search.
Very good idea.
And that way you're going to find out all the blogs and what people really think.
Exactly. You will find that out, yes.
You got to keep in mind, however, that a lot of these are the reliabilities. Well, take it with a grain of salt.
Exactly.
But read it, because it may be revealing.
Right.
So, I say that about a lot of things, because you may find out something's going on. I've not gone to hotels because I've gone in and done some searching on them and found out that there was construction going on in the hotel. I don't want to be there when they're redoing it.
No, you don't.
You know? And that kind of thing is very useful information. You can also find out the kinds of problems, help you to avoid those kinds of problems.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a great believer in educating yourself, and the internet is certainly the way to go. What else? We only have a couple minutes. Do we have some other things that we need to tell our listeners?
Here's probably the number one thing you need to avoid. First, it's important to understand that in order for you to receive a written binding estimate for your move, a representative of the moving company must come to your home and make a visual inspection.
Don't take it over the phone.
Do not take it over the internet. Most of your internet websites will ask you to fill out an inventory of your goods that are moving, and they will consider that as the basis of having done a visual survey. That is not, and those companies are subject to a $10,000 fine by doing that. Yet, unfortunately, it happens every day,
mm-hmm.
and those are the consumers who end up getting taken advantage of. And then second, do not move with any company who asks you for a deposit.
Oh, really?
Professional moving companies do not ask for deposits. They ask for payment at the completion of the move, or you may pay by credit card in advance of the move, or we'll make arrangements to invoice your company if your company is paying for the move. But we do not ask for deposits.
You know, I asked you earlier about how soon you should expect to be delivered at your destination across the country. That should be a reasonable amount of time that it would take a truck to get there, right?
It should be, and including the size of your move, because that dictates what size truck and the distance you're mm-hmm. going. If you're traveling mm-hmm. more than 500 miles, it'll invariably be a tractor trailer. If it's less than that, it might be a 26-foot straight truck, and you could be the only shipment on.
Mm-hmm.
But with today's tractor trailers being 53 feet in length, they hold 30,000 pounds, and most shipments still today average 8,000 or 9,000 pounds.
Is that the average yeah. household size?
So I'm not going to take you from here to California with a truck that's one-third full
nope.
when I can fill it.
Especially not with the price of gasoline
exactly.
these days.
So your delivery time frame is based upon the miles that you're traveling and your shipment size as relates to how much space you take up on the truck. So, but it still should be a reasonable time, and you should know your delivery window on moving day, so you'll know when to expect your goods.
And how many estimates should you get? Two or three?
I say certainly three. Whether or not you choose to do more of that is always up to the consumer.
And most companies are willing to come out and give you an estimate.
If they're not, don't even consider
them.
Don't
even think about them.
Right.
Good advice, John. Thank you so much for being with us. This has been most informative. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here in Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest has been John Crawford. He's the Vice President of Sales for Collins Brothers Moving and Storage. They're an agent of Atlas Van Lines. And, of course, I'm Shirley Rooker, and we are so grateful that you joined us, and we hope you learned a lot and that we've helped you avoid problems if you have to move.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.